What's up? All right, what's up? What's up? Good morning. It is your girl Courage Molina, pastor here. I am so excited that y'all are pouring into this space. I see you, South Carolina. They say South Kakalaki. I see you, ATL is in the building, Charlotte in the building. What's good, Boogie Down Bronx? Good morning. Good morning. Drop in the chat where you are viewing from, whether you are viewing live or viewing the replay. We want to see how far this is going across the world. I know that so many of you are tuning in from all over the world. And so we want to give you a shout out. We want to see. Don't be ashamed. Rep your city right in the chat. I'm so glad that you are here. Welcome. Welcome. Another one from Atlanta. Let's get in to it. Like I said, I am Courage Molina, pastor of Dose of Courage Community Church. It is my esteemed honor to serve here as the lead pastor. Dose of Courage Community Church is a place where entrepreneurial women come to fall in love with the Word of God. And on this house, we know that our assignment is to authentically teach the Word of God so that it reflects His true character, so that it's relatable, and so that you can apply it to every area of your life, no matter the season that you are in. But listen, as great as that is, no one is great alone. And so that means I cannot do this without you. I need your support. What are the ways that you can support what we're doing here at Dose of Courage Community Church is to get committed to your own growth. It is so important for you to have the tools and resources necessary so that you can rightly interpret and understand the Word of God in a way that you can actually apply it. It is not enough for us to get a revelation. It is not enough for us to just feel warm and fuzzy on a Saturday morning or whenever you are watching this. You have a responsibility to get in the Word for yourself. The Bible Study Guide helps you to do that. Now, today we are closing out our study of John chapters 8 through 14. So the new Bible Study Guide that you need to get moving forward is the one that covers John chapters 15 through 21. It is going to be a 7-week study. I'm so excited about this 7-week study. It is going to be a 7-week study. It's going to be a slow burn. Go ahead and go over to couragemolina.org/shop and get your Bible Study Guide downloaded. It's a digital download. You'll get it right away for $20. We have got to focus on our growth first before we can support other people. Another way that you can support this ministry is by praying, like for real. You understand what I'm saying? Pray for real. Cover yourself in prayer. Cover the women that you see in the chat, the women to the left and the right of you on the screen when you join the conversation. Cover them and their families in prayer. Be sure to cover the leadership of this church in prayer also. Say our names: Courage Molina, Luverta Reams, Olivia Hayward, Erica Davenport, and Janae Pollard. Don't just say like, oh, bless the leadership. Say our name. Take one day of the week and lift us up in prayer. We are a church that believes in the power of prayer. So cover us. I also could use your help in sharing the good news. Share the good news about the gospel of Jesus being taught here at this church. If you have been blessed by a video, first of all, if you've been blessed by this ministry in any way, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. I know some of y'all are watching, but you haven't subscribed. Stop it. Just the Lord is not pleased. The Lord is not pleased with it. Hit the subscribe button. Some of you have been coming every single week and you have not shared it with another person. Do not worry about whether or not they're going to come or whatever. Keep sharing. Keep sharing until they tell you, you know what? Please do not share that with me again, ever again in life. Okay, keep sharing. Don't be deterred by a no. Be persistent. Share, share, share. A screenshot. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, right? Let the world know where you are coming to get fed. Last but not least, you can give a monetary gift at couragemolina.org/sow a seed. We are transitioning over to Tithely. You can still give this way through the end of the month. It's just a few days, actually. But I want you to sow a seed, pray about what God would have you to give to this ministry. We know that God loves a cheerful giver. All right, let's get into it. Can I tell y'all that I'm hot already? Now it's been a couple weeks since I done got real hot, and it's cold outside, so I don't understand why it's so hot in here. I keep telling my production team, it's too many lights in here. I'm supposed to be the light of the world. Yeah, I got 100 lights in here trying to light up. I guess I'm not. Guess I'm not as light as I thought I was, right? So this is week 4, and you know, we've been studying the gospel according to John chapters 8-14. The first week we went through basically what are all the things that happened, right? What took place, who, what, when, where, why. We were bearing witness to what we read in the scripture. And then the second week we looked at the observations. What did we learn? What did we see in the scripture? What did the people involved in the scripture learn? Not what did we learn? What did they learn? What were their conflicts and their takeaways? And then last week, we came together and discussed the lessons learned as a result of those observations. Now, it is not enough for us to be hearers of the word. God has called us to be hearers and doers of the word. And so that means that once we get a revelation, I love it when we get a revelation. Now, you get an aha, you watch the sermon and you thought, oh, child, she's talking to me. That's exciting. That's super exciting. The question is, what did you do or what do you plan to do as a result of the revelation that you got, as a result of the insight, as a result of the aha moments that you got from being in the Word of God or from listening to the sermon? What type of plan, action plan? I always say this, you know, you got a great word from the Lord, but you didn't get an assignment or a to-do list. I feel like you need to go back. You know, I feel like he wasn't listening. He's not talking just so that you can hear him. He is speaking to be obeyed. He is all about transformation and seeing his will done on this earth. We are the ones who are going to do it. We've been given assignments. So that means when I get a word from God, he's got an assignment. Whether it's to change my perspective or change my attitude or to give me the authority to go out and do something, build something, serve someone, I've got an assignment. And so when we get in the word of God and we get these ahas, it's not enough for us to be like, oh, that was so good. No, we got to do something. And so this week, I have some questions based on last week's lesson. So I'll share the lessons real quick, but if you want a real true breakdown, then you need to watch the replay. You need to watch the replay. I got my notes right here. I really am like so hot, y'all. Thank you for my fan. I needed a fan. Now I know it doesn't have a funeral home on the back, and I know it don't have Martin Luther King on the back, but I so appreciate y'all remember those fans in every church? It got a funeral home on one side and Martin Luther King on the other. No, just me. Okay, let's look at what we learned. I'm just going to run through them. Your proof is your purpose, not the people. Your proof is your purpose, not the people. Your purpose was God-given. That means that you were made for it. And whether people are following you or liking you or whatever, it doesn't change that. It's not, that's not the proof. Like, oh, if people are following me or if they like me or if they're buying my product, and that means that I really was called for this. No, your proof is the fact that it's your purpose. Your proof is that it was given to you by God. Okay. When you know and you see, but you don't do it, this is sin. When you know what God has called you to do, when you see the vision and you don't do it, you can call it procrastination. You can call it perfection. The word calls it sin. We know the wages of sin is death. Okay, anybody got time for that, right? That came from John 9:41. You can see it there. When God gives an assignment, next lesson, when God, I know I'm kind of speeding through these. That's why I said watch the video, okay? The previous video. When God gives an assignment, with it comes the authority, the anointing to get the job done. When the Lord gives, so you've been given an assignment. And so now you're waiting for somebody to give you permission. Mm-mm. When God gives you an assignment, it's like a combination deal. He gives you the authority and the anointing to get the job done. If you believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, then what area in your life do you doubt that he can do something, right? There were some things that we noticed when it came to Lazarus being raised from the dead, that somebody invited Jesus in. It wasn't Lazarus. That's why I say in the beginning, if you want to support us, then pray for us. Pray for other people, right? Pray for each other. Because it was Mary and Martha who sent for Jesus. Lazarus did not send for him, right? They sent for Jesus. They invited him in. Do you know how Jesus responded? He showed up. He spoke words and brought Lazarus to life from the dead, man in the grave for 4 days. So I just wonder if you believe that to be true, if you believe that Jesus actually walked the earth and he is the resurrection, the truth, and the life, I wonder what areas of your life have you been doubting that God can resurrect things? I wonder what reports you've gotten that you have just accepted to be true. You haven't even bothered to invite Jesus in. Some people, next lesson, some people might, I don't want to say everybody, some people might plot against you because of the blessings you received from God. Sometimes, you know, I hate to be talking about haters because I feel like y'all don't have as many haters as you think you have. If I'm honest, I don't think about haters, so I'm always shocked when I have one. Like, wow. Somebody actually doesn't like me? It's weird. I don't really believe people are sitting around thinking and plotting, but the word says that some people, I mean, we can see that some people, the Pharisees plotted to kill Lazarus, not because of what he did, but because of what was done for him by Jesus. Because of the blessings that Lazarus experienced in his life, because he was resurrected, people started to believe in Jesus and follow him. Right? So sometimes some people might plot against you because of the blessing. Why is that an important thing for you to remember? Because the enemy will start to talk to you and make you think that the reason people are coming against you is because God isn't for you, or maybe you're in the wrong area, or maybe you're out of alignment, or maybe you did something wrong, or maybe you don't deserve what you're getting. Like, all of these things the enemy will use the minute that somebody launches an attack against you. I think that we forget we have a real enemy and he uses people too. Okay, sometimes it's because of the blessing that God gave you that, you know, people plot against you. The next lesson, you will block your breakthroughs and your blessings when you refuse to allow people to serve you. Some of you are used to being a support for other people, maybe people who have been pouring into you. And so you just have, you're just overwhelmed with gratitude. I know that is like our badge, right? That we serve. We want not that we want everybody to know that we serve, but that's what we want to be known for, serving and not being served. But sometimes you can block your breakthrough and your blessing by refusing to allow somebody to serve you. Jesus served his disciples. Jesus got down on his hands and knees to wash their feet. And my boy, this is my dude, Peter, was like, no, not me, Lord, don't wash my feet. He was like, if you don't allow me to do this for you, you have no part in me. Peter about to miss his breakthrough. Peter about to miss his blessing. Why? Because he was trying to refuse the service that Jesus wanted to give to him. Last but certainly not least, Jesus is the only way to eternal life. I know a lot of times it makes, sometimes as Christians, we feel closed-minded. We've come to a place where we don't want to offend anybody. And I think that's great. But I think also sometimes people are offended. I didn't offend you. I didn't say anything offensive, but you offended. And people have a right to their feelings and their emotions. It don't change the truth though. Okay, truth don't change because of your feelings and not because of the feelings of anybody else. And I think that we have to remember as Christians, we didn't die on the cross. I didn't die for y'all. I'm not about to either. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. So when it comes to the standards and requirements needed for eternal life, we have to turn to Jesus. And since Jesus said he's the only way, then for those who believe, we know that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And I wonder, who are you bringing to Jesus? Okay, now, based on those lessons, we're going to get together and discuss on the Zoom the following questions. Right? I'm going to walk through these questions in case you're watching this at a different time. But as soon as I'm done explaining these questions or going through these questions, these are the questions that we're going to discuss in the Zoom. And so I want you to make plans to join us, even if you haven't previously joined us, because it is not enough to hear a word and not do the word. I saw this quote in this book. I thought it was like, yeesh, you know, it just used very strong language. You'll see what I mean when I say it just used very strong language as it relates to, you know, studying the word. I don't know who it is that said it. I should probably find out. But it says, interpretation without application is abortion. And I thought, wow, that's very strong. I'll say it again. Interpretation without application is abortion. That is such a powerful quote, and it is really sobering when you think about it. So you might go to church, watch this video, get in the word, use the Bible study guide, and get to a place where you have an understanding of the scripture, where you are able to rightly and correctly interpret it. But all you do is just take that interpretation and write it in a journal, and that's it. There is something conceived there that is meant to give life to some type of action, to some type of response from you in a real way, not in this high thinking, oh, I'm going to trust God more. That is so cute. What does that mean? So what does trusting God? So that's the interpretation, right? Oh, that means I need to trust God more. Okay, cool. That's the interpretation. It's the same for everybody. Application is where it gets different. What does trusting God more, what does that look like in your day-to-day life, in your real life, in your house, in your car, at the grocery store, with your family at the barbecue, wherever, right? What does that look like in your finances and in your health? What does that look like in the work that you do and in your home? Like, what is that? How are you going to act that out, trusting God? What is God calling you specifically to do? There is something that is conceived in that interpretation. There's this insight that you've been given, not just so that you can feel insightful, not just so you can be a Bible scholar. And I'm team nerd. Okay. I am team. Let me get another Bible resource. Let me get another dictionary. I'm all about the knowledge, but it is trivial when you do not apply it. Do you understand that? And I know that's not what we want to do. And so these questions are questions that will lead you to action. And we all know that faith without works is dead. So let's get into it. First question, what is your individual purpose, right? Because you are created with a purpose. Now, first of all, we talked about this in week one. You know, we have this universal purpose. And everybody's universal purpose, for all of us who know and love Christ, our universal purpose is to know Christ and to make him known. Now, everybody got the same purpose, but we also have been assigned and have been created with an individual purpose in mind. What is your individual purpose? Do you know it? Right? The word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Follow me here. The word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. James, the book of James, Jesus's brother, helps us to understand what faith is, right? Faith is seen in the work that we do, right? We don't have faith because of the work, but we work because we have faith. So if it is impossible for me to please God without faith, it means that I need to work. There is work that God has called me to do. And he has created me with the gift and the skill and the talent and the preference and the personality to walk out this purpose like nobody else on the planet could. Can nobody do like you could do what God has called you to? Let me say it again. There is not a person breathing in and out on the globe that can do what God has called you to do like you could do it. Can't be done. Ain't another woman, man, child walking that can do this calling that God has placed on my life. The same is true for you. But how can I do the work if I don't know what my purpose is? And if I don't know what my purpose is, doesn't that compel me to seek it out? The word of God also says, seek and ye shall find. Are you even looking for it? Are you asking for help, support? Are you Googling, like, how can I find my purpose? What are you doing, friend? If you don't know what your individual purpose is, you should be seeking with urgency, because it is the reason that you were placed on this planet. It is why you have breath in your lungs. It's why you breathe. I'm gonna pause for a second. Let's pause. Let's all just breathe in and out. Every breath you take, every second that you have been blessed with life. Do you understand? There's a purpose on that. Listen, there's a purpose on every breath, every inhale and every exhale. You are here for a purpose. Let there be some urgency to you finding out what your purpose is. So join us in the conversation. What is your individual purpose? Do you know what God is calling you to do? All right. Do you know what God is calling you to do? Next question. What do you know that you've been called to do, right? In alignment with the vision that you aren't doing? Because the lesson is that when you know it and you see it and you don't do it, it's sin. So what we want to do as light workers, right? God said we're the salt and the light of the earth, right? We're supposed to be like Jesus. Do we take a light and put it under a bowl and hide it? No, we set it on the hill and all of those things. And so we are people who are invested in taking a flashlight and seeking the sin. We want to discover the sin in our, not somebody else's life. Mind your business. Drink water. And mind your own sin, okay? Flashlight, right? We should be using a flashlight to discover the sin that lies in our own hearts and in our own lives. And so when you understand that when you've been called to something, you know it, you've seen the vision, and you're still not doing it, you recognize that sin. Now the question becomes, okay, let me sit back and really think about what I know I've been called to do, but I haven't been doing. Let me sit back and really think about the vision that God has given me. Am I actually taking practical, real world, natural steps in the natural, okay? To bring forth that vision in my life, because I have a part to play, right? We are doing this. We're not doing this outside of God. We're doing this with God. So that means we're working too. We're not just sitting back chilling. So I wonder if you took some time to consider the assignment that God has given you, the vision that he's given you, whether it's in ministry or business, the marketplace, whether it's in your finances. Listen. Whether it's in your health, whether it's in your marriage or relationships, where is God calling you to do something? You just not doing it. You need to find out where that is so you can get to work, right? First part is acknowledging. We have to acknowledge, okay, you know what? God has shown me this vision. And truth be told, he gave me a vision of being debt-free. Truth be told, he gave me a vision of great health and healing. Truth be told, he gave me a vision of marriage. Truth be told, he gave me a vision of starting a ministry, or he gave me a vision of starting a business. And if I'm honest, I ain't really been doing the work, right? Like sometimes we just got to take a pause and consider what assignment, what thing has he called us to do? What vision has he given us? And we're just like, oh, that was a good movie. That movie was good. You sitting back looking at the vision, eating popcorn, like you are waiting for it to No, honey, no. Faith without works is dead. You believe that God is going to do what he's shown you by faith. You believe that by faith, right? You believe it by faith. Okay, well, if you believe that God's going to do that vision, what is your part in it? What work do you need to do, right? Next question. What is your assignment in this season? What is your assignment in this season? What is the assignment that you have the authority from God to go forth with, that you have the anointing from God to go forth with. And the reason I'm breaking this down, right? I know you're like, wow, it seems like we're saying the same thing. No, first of all, I got to know my purpose. Let me identify it. Let me say what it is. Let me declare out of my mouth what I know my purpose is by faith, right? Let me declare that. That's what question number one is about. Or let me recognize that I don't know what it is and seek help so that I can find it, discover it, uncover it, right? Then the next thing is, okay, what thing is he telling me to do from this vision? There's a vision that God has given you, but there's that's huge, is my guess. The vision is huge, but there's a small part assignment that you're supposed to be working on right now, right? If you think of, y'all know I was a classroom teacher. If you think of the vision as the finished project, there are many parts and steps to the process of bringing that project to life. Well, first I got to buy the book, then I got to read the book, and then I got to draw the pictures, and then I got to get these materials, right? So there is this vision of what the end product is going to look like. There's this vision of where God is taking you, but there are so many things. So what is the assignment right now? The assignment is not to wait until all the pieces. There's an assignment that you have right now in alignment with that vision. What's the assignment? What does God want you to be working on? Sometimes God gave you a vision and what he wants you to be working on is your attitude. Sometimes God gave you a vision, right? But what he wants you to be working on is your generosity. Somebody is saying, God, when I get rich, I know I shared this story before, I'm going to share it with you right now. I was listening to a podcast and these guys were talking about, you know, generosity and, you know, and just like being who you say you are, right? So like writers write, readers read. It's not like, oh, I'm a reader. No, I'm reading, right? We are what we're doing. And so he kind of talked about like being generous. People who are generous in and out of season. And they were talking about how they give 100% tip. And I thought, oh, I cannot wait to be rich. I can't wait to be rich enough to give 100% tip. That's what I said. God bless the work of my hands, increase my impact, my influence, and my income, right? Like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for that to happen so that then I can start to be more generous. And the Lord challenged me to start being generous right now. He gave me a vision, right, of building wealth. He gave me a vision of being debt free. He gave me a vision of being able to write checks to support things that are important to me. He gave me a vision of being able to do that. But what he's calling me to do right now is not just to make money as a coach, but to be generous and give right now. My assignment as it relates to my finances is in tithing to this church and being generous like I say I want to be when I'm rich. Oh, when this happens, then I'll do. That's my assignment as it relates to my finances right now. Some of y'all believe in God for financial increase, but the assignment that he's got for you right now is in helping your sister. The assignment that he has for you right now is in investing in what somebody else is doing. The assignment he has on you right now is in sowing the seed at this church. Right? Somebody's waiting for a financial blessing, but the assignment that God has for you right now isn't in making hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, but it's in giving from where you are right now. Somebody's assignment, you see this great family that you have, is in dealing with the trauma. Right now, your assignment is to get healed. I am responsible for taking part in my healing. You need to be an active participant. And so, yes, you have this great vision and God has given you this vision for this beautiful family and this husband and these kids you're going to have. But your assignment right now is to take responsibility for your healing. That's the assignment. So I want to know, what does God want you to be working on? Is it your attitude? Is it your perspective, your generosity, how much you rely on him? It's easy to say, God, I trust you to provide. I will never leave you. I will never turn away from you. I'll never deny you. The Lord is like, child, if I was to give you what you asked, if I were to give you your vision today, you'd never talk to me again. I'm not saying, I'm just telling you, So my assignment right now may be in getting in the word. My assignment right now may be putting my spiritual growth first. My assignment right now may be in showing compassion and grace to the people that are in my circle. So what does God want you working on? Because I'm going to tell you this, your vision, the big vision that you have, that God has given you, might be your priority today, but there may be something else that is God's priority for your life today, because he understands that there's something he's got to work out in you, or there's something that he needs to strengthen in you. Like, yeah, she got a little bit of it now, but we got to strengthen that muscle. Some of you don't have, come on, Jesus. Some of you don't have the confidence. Come on. Some of you don't have the confidence today, right, that you would need to live in the vision that God has given you. I'm going to say that again. Some of you, come on, don't have the you don't have the boldness and the confidence today on this day when you seeing this. You do not have enough confidence to sustain you at that place where God is taking you. You ain't got it. And so your assignment, what God wants you to be working on right now, is building your confidence. Some of you don't have the discipline, right? You got the discipline for where you are, but you don't have the discipline for where God is taking you. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you have the discipline for where you are, but you don't have the flexibility for where God is taking you. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you trust God in this area, but you don't. Okay. Next question we'll discuss. What is your greatest area of doubt when it comes to the desires of your heart? When you look at that vision, I want you to just take a second with me. And I want you to think of the vision that God has given you for your health, for your finances, for your relationship, for your purpose, for your life, right? I want you to consider right now the vision that he's given you, right? Full scale. And I want you to honestly search your heart, scan your heart right now. Listen to those thoughts right now that bubble up without you even trying. And make a list of the areas where you have doubt. Because not acknowledging them doesn't make them less true or less powerful. Okay? Not acknowledging the doubts and the fears that you have in relation to the vision that God has given you for your greatest heart's desires. Not acknowledging that you think you will never be good enough for marriage. Not acknowledging this. Not acknowledging the fear and the doubt that you have that you are worthy of the wealth that he is bringing to you. Not acknowledging that you have some trauma. And so as a result, you have fear and doubt that your marriage could be successful even if you got married. Not acknowledging that you realize that other people have died from the same diagnosis that you've been given. And so there is this fear, and not acknowledging it doesn't make it less true, and it doesn't make it less powerful. That is also, it is not a strategy. It's not a biblical strategy, for the record. I say that from a place of straight hypocrisy, because my favorite thing to do is to pretend like I don't have a doubt, or to pretend like I don't have fear. But do you know what happens when I pretend that I don't have doubt or I don't have fear in an area? Well, you know, it comes to roost. And then I got to pay the piper for how slow I moved, or for how I didn't move at all, or for the anxiety that I have as a result. It is not a biblical strategy to ignore the fear and the doubt. The word of God says, take captive. Do you know what you have to do to take something captive? You have to confront it. You cannot take captive any fear or doubt that you ignore. You can't, let me say it again. You cannot take captive any fear or doubt you refuse to confront. You can't do it. If you ignore it, you can't take it captive. Right. So what is your greatest area of doubt when it comes so that you can take that thing, so you can confront it, so you can conquer it, so you can hold it captive to what the word of God says? Let's get these doubts out in the air. Let's shine some. Listen, today is all about shining the light. Let's shine the light on sin. Let's shine the light on some of these doubts and insecurities we got. Let's shine the light, right? Next question we're going to discuss. How well do you receive support and honor? As you say yes to the call on your life, as you continue to press in to time with God, as you continue to transform and become more like Him, as you get in alignment, there are going to be times on this journey and throughout your life, no matter what you have experienced or you haven't experienced before now, I'm telling you right now, okay? There's going to come a time where someone is going to, it's going to be put on somebody's heart to honor you, to serve you. There's going to come a time where somebody is going to feel a pressing on their heart to support and honor you. How are you going to receive it? With joy and thanksgiving? With hesitation and angst and anxiety? With a side of self-loathing and wondering if you are worthy? By not a, listen, when somebody has the heart to bless, serve, or support you, that is a directive from God. That is a directive brought and delivered through the Holy Spirit. And so you are refusing not the person. You are refusing the thing that God is saying that you need in order to, he realizes that the enemy has been telling you that you're unworthy. So he sent somebody into your life who would honor you and show you that you are more worthy and deserving of love and respect and honor and loyalty than you were previously treated. How well do you receive that love and that honor and that service? Are you the one holding up your breakthrough and your blessing? We'll talk about that. Last question, but certainly not least, how are you preaching the gospel and bringing people to Jesus? Now, listen, I'm not talking about Bible toting, by hitting people over the head with the Bible, judgment, judge pants, hell and brimstone, that, you know. That's not what I mean. I mean, how, if you know, if you're a follower of Christ, then you believe what his word says, you believe what he said in his word, and he said he's the only way. How many people do you know and love that you haven't introduced to Jesus? How are you introducing them? Are you preaching with your mouth, but your life is preaching a different sermon? Because I'm going to tell you right now, don't nothing preach like your life. The shade. There is no louder sermon than the life you live in. You can take that however you want it. There is no louder sermon than the life that you are living. So how is your life preaching the gospel? How is the way you show up to work late, not on the Zoom on time, looking crazy, acting a fool on these people's job? How is the life that you're living preaching the gospel and bringing people to Christ? How are you treating people in the break room, in the parking lot, at the grocery store? How is your face? Maybe you're not like me, but maybe some of y'all like me. How is your face preaching the gospel? Some of y'all might have learned to remain silent, but your face is a megaphone. Right? How is your face preaching the gospel in those meetings, in those family conversations with the homegirls? Right? Like, how is your face, how are your finances preaching the gospel? How are you bringing people to Jesus? If you know Jesus is the only way, how are you preaching and bringing people to him? Don't think because you haven't been given the title of pastor or because you're not in the four walls of the church. 85% of Christians are in the marketplace, okay? 85% of Christians find their missions and ministry in the marketplace. They are bank tellers, loan officers, real estate agents, hairdressers, customer service reps, retail service, like 85% of Christ followers are in the marketplace. So you in the marketplace 40 hours a week and then some of you. How are you preaching the gospel and bringing people to Jesus? And I'm not talking about how are you sharing scripture. I'm saying, are you living out what you say you believe so that when people see there's something different about you, I'm wondering if you are bringing your light into the building. You know, you working in fast food right now because things are hard. And I understand that you are overeducated and underpaid for the work that you're doing. But, you know, the way things are, you got to do what you got to do. And so I get that. But I wonder if when you pull up to your place of business, to your place of employment, the place you prayed to be, you was desperate for the job before you got it. You needed the job before you got it. You put a prayer in the air before you got the interview because you needed whatever, right? You needed it then. I wonder how often when you pull up to this place, are you leaving your light and your salt in the car and going in acting like the world? That's what I'm talking about. So let's not just throw these are not theoretical questions. These are, you know, we're not just pontificating here, right? These are questions that are going to help us to see what God is calling us to do. When you have a practical understanding of what God wants you to do, then that's when you can create an action plan. These are the steps I need to take. These are the activities that I need to include. I need to get a budget. I need to make an appointment at the bank. I need to have a conversation with my spouse. I need to have a conversation with my sister. When am I going to do that? I need to go ahead and look at and rearrange some things in my budget so that I can tithe like God has called me to. I need to go ahead and rearrange some things in my budget so that I can support my sister, my cousin, my brother who was going through a difficult time because God has blessed me to do so. And that is the thing that he continues to put on my heart in this season. When you realize, right? Oh, well, this is the purpose that God has given me. Okay, I got a purpose. What is my first thing going to do? Okay, God has called me to lead women through prayer. Okay, how they gonna find you, sis? What do you, okay, so I need to get a website. I need to get, this is not just like some fruitful, we're gonna talk about our feelings and be like, oh, the Lord is telling me. Don't nobody care about that, man. I mean that in the nicest possible, don't nobody care about that, okay? I'm talking about follow through. Oh, I recognize what my purpose is. I understand what my assignment is. Okay, well, then I need to learn how to show up consistently in the marketplace. Okay, well, I need to talk to somebody about packaging up this product or service. Okay, well, I need to go ahead and choose a Bible study so that I can invite women into my home because I believe that God is calling me. Oh, people love to tell, you know what people love to tell me? And I don't even know why. I don't know why. Haven't given it a lot of thought, but now that I'm saying it to y'all, it kind of make me think a little bit. People love to tell me, I know that God has given me a ministry. They love to, women love to say that. They love to, and I don't know why they love to say it. Well, I know that God has given me a ministry because Jesus told the Pharisees, if you did not see, there would be no sin against you. But because you see, your sin remains. So why y'all are out here saying, well, I know the Lord has given me a ministry, but he's still working on. No, if you know the Lord has given you a ministry, he's giving you an assignment, then you are living in sin right now. You worry about your cousin who's shacking up, talking about how she and he is living in sin. You worry about the wrong thing. This is where the word of God talks about taking that speck out your brother's eye, when you got a whole board in your eye, you worried about somebody who has not come to know Christ, has not had an experience with Christ, who might be shacking up. When you yourself are Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized and you're speaking in tongues and all that, and you know the Lord, you got your prayer language, that's so cute, honey, and you know the Lord has given you ministry, but you ain't did it yet, that's sin, for the record, according to the word. I don't know why people say all the time, well, I know the Lord is calling me to write a book. Okay, well, do you need me to send you a notebook? You got a pen and paper? Did you start writing it? Well, you know the Lord has called you to do something, right? So this conversation that we're going to get into, it's going to take us beyond the, I know God has called me to ministry. So I'm going to tell you like this. I always want you guys to come and join me for the conversation. I do, because I want to hear about your thoughts and stuff. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not interested in having no conversation about what God is calling you to do that you're not about to do. Not today, Satan. Okay? So you can go ahead and go grocery shopping and go to brunch if you just want to talk about what God has called you to do, but you have no intentions of taking any step whatsoever. If you don't have any intentions of taking any step to do, to act on what God has revealed to you either today or through this study, then please go to breakfast, okay? Because this session is for those of us who are saying, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, ready to serve, right? That's who this kind of, it's not, I just want to, you know, the Lord's still working. Okay, the Lord's still working on you, cool. This is not the conversation for you then, okay? These are for the workers of Christ. We've been called to work and we're ready to take those steps, whatever it looks like. And they don't all look the same, but whatever it looks like, right? Whether it's in our work or in our ministry or finances or relationships, or even if it's in our faith walk, in our mental health, in our physical health, we are ready to get a serious action plan so that we can start putting one foot in front of the other in faith. Because we know, like a soul without a body, so is faith without works, says James. Do you know what a body without a soul does? Do you know what a body without a soul does? Nothing. That's what your faith without works does. You ain't moving no mountains. Your faith, come on, I'm just trying to close, Jesus. I'm not trying to comfort these people. Your faith ain't moving no mountains. You ain't moving your feet. Your faith ain't moving no mountains, because faith without works is dead. So your faith ain't moving jack. Okay? Not a pebble, not a grain of sand, because it's dead. I love this idea, you know, of like, oh, we got to get active faith. No, if it's not active, it ain't faith, it's dead. You feel me? I want you to join this conversation. If you're ready to roll up your sleeves and do some work, right? Come and join me over there. Listen, I know this wasn't as, you know, warm and fuzzy, but it's because it's, you know, the time is over. I hope you felt good in those other videos, because today is time to work. Okay, it's time to put us to work today. I pray, though, that this has blessed you. I pray that you have been blessed by this. And if there is anyone watching who feels like, you know, something is missing, like there's this disconnect, like maybe you grew up going to church, but you don't have a real personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've accepted Christianity as a cultural thing. It's something that we do in the South. It's something that we do in my family. It's something that we do in our community. But if I just look at my own self, if I look at my own life and my own faith walk, this entire time I've been on the coattails of somebody else. I've never actually had a conversation with Jesus. I've never actually invited him into my heart. I invite you to get to know Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. Anyone who has fallen prey to this new ideology that we see so rampant, that I can know God and not accept Jesus, and still, because I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, I'm here to expose that as a lie from the enemy. The word of God says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. It says that Jesus is the gatekeeper. He is the gate. You cannot get into this thing called eternal life until you know Jesus. You are not, listen, what Jesus did on the cross is what makes you a child of God. Jesus tells the Pharisees, Abraham is not your dad, but the devil is, because you don't know me.
So while God might have been your creator, while God has created us all through Adam, right? The way he has created us, while God has created us all, you are not a child of God until you accept Jesus. That's according to the word. Jesus himself, the Messiah, said, if you knew God, then you would know me. You can't be a child of God. You have to be born of the Spirit. Water and spirit. We've all been born of flesh. Everybody has DNA from a man and a woman. We all got some DNA. We were born of flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But if you want to see God move in your life, if you want to have an individual relationship with him, that is how you become a child of God. You are adopted through what Christ did on the cross. But that only happens when you accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize today that while I have been familiar with God and I have heard about him and all of his ways, and while I've made some time to get to know your scripture, I've never gotten the opportunity to get to know you. I have not taken the time to adopt you as my Lord and Savior. And so, Jesus, today I want to confess from my mouth. Wherever you are, I want you to say it out loud. Our faith is voice activated. The word of God says that the power of life and death, this is a life-giving prayer. The power of life and death lies in your tongue, not in your mind, not in your thoughts. So I want you to open your mouth wherever you are today if you do not know Jesus. And I want you to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I believe that you came from heaven to earth. I believe that you are the Word made flesh, that you are the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins, and that when you got up out of the grave, you had all power in your hand and you redeemed me to the Father. Jesus, I invite you into my heart today, and I invite you into the driver's seat of my life, oh God. If you said it and you believe it, then you are saved. That's what the word God said. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. We are believers of Christ. We believe what Jesus said about salvation. This is a gift that comes from Christ. And so we celebrate this thing with you. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior through this prayer, I would love to connect with you. You're going to send an email to praise@couragemolina.com. You're going to send that email to praise@couragemolina.com, and you are going to let us know that you have come to know Christ. Somebody will reach out to you, right, and welcome you into the family. Yeah, I'll give you an official welcome, child. Hey, welcome to the family, honey. We're so glad that we've been waiting on you. We couldn't wait for you to get here. We've been praying for you. We're like, oh, we can't wait for our new sister to come to and join us. We are so excited that you are here, right? Super excited. And I hope that you would join the community. The link to join the community is in the description. It's also on the screen. The link to join the community is on the screen. Join the conversation. Join the community. This is a Bible, right, teaching, faith-building church. If you have come to know Christ here, then child, you're in a good place. Stay connected. All right, I love y'all. Don't forget to share this. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, notification, all those YouTube things, because the more you like and share and notify, that helps us to reach more people across the globe, right? When you get behind what is happening here on this YouTube channel, then guess what? Even YouTube's algorithm will get in line and help us do the work of the Lord. Ain't that something? You know, YouTube is in evangelism too, but it starts with us. So share, like, all of those things. Drop a comment. All right, I love you guys, and I will see you in the community for the conversation that follows. Love y'all.